KSJE and the Farmington Public Library present Quinto's Hana and Tales.
Hello and welcome to Quinto's Hana and Tales. My name is Melanie Leeson and I am a Youth Services Technician at the Farmington Public Library. I am going to be reading several stories today. The first one is from the very Eric Carle Treasury. And of course it's by Eric Carle, but instead of being just one story by Eric Carle, it's got a whole bunch of his books in one volume. The first story is The Very Busy Spider. Early one morning, the wind blew a spider across the field. A thin, silky thread trailed from her body. The spider landed on a fence post near a farmyard and began to spin a web with her silky thread. "Nay, nay," said the horse. "Want to go for a ride?" The spider didn't answer. She was very busy spinning her web. "Moo, moo," said the cow. "Want to eat some grass?" The spider didn't answer. She was very busy spinning her web. "Baa, baa," bleated the sheep. "Want to run in the meadow?" The spider didn't answer. She was very busy spinning her web. "Ma, ma," said the goat. "Want to jump on the rocks?" The spider didn't answer. She was very busy spinning her web. "Oink, oink," grunted the pig. "Want to roll in the mud?" The spider didn't answer. She was very busy spinning her web. "Woof, woof," barked the dog. "Want to chase a cat?" The spider didn't answer. She was still very busy spinning her web. "Meow, meow," cried the cat. "Want to take a nap?" The spider didn't answer. She was very busy spinning her web. "Quack, quack," called the duck. "Want to go for a swim?" The spider didn't answer. She had now finished her web. "Cock-a-doodle-doo," crowed the rooster. "Want to catch a pesty fly?" And the spider caught the fly in her web, just like that. "Hoo, hoo," asked the owl. "Who built this beautiful web?" The spider didn't answer. She had fallen asleep. It had been a very busy day. The next story in this particular book is The Very Quiet Cricket, and again, it's by Eric Carle. One warm day, from a tiny egg, a little cricket was born. "Welcome," chirped a big cricket, rubbing his wings together. The little cricket wanted to answer, so he rubbed his wings together. But nothing happened, not a sound. "Good morning," whizzed a locust, spinning through the air. The little cricket wanted to answer, so he rubbed his wings together. But nothing happened, not a sound. "Hello," whispered a praying mantis, scraping its huge front legs together. The little cricket wanted to answer, so he rubbed his wings together. But nothing happened, not a sound. "Good day," crunched a worm, munching its way out of an apple. The little cricket wanted to answer, so he rubbed his wings together. But nothing happened, not a sound. "Hi," bubbled a spittle bug, slurping in a sea of froth. The little cricket wanted to answer, so he rubbed his wings together. But nothing happened, not a sound. "Good afternoon," screeched a cicada, clinging to the branch of a tree. The little cricket wanted to answer, so he rubbed his wings together. But nothing happened, not a sound. "How are you?" hummed a bumblebee, flying from flower to flower. The little cricket wanted to answer, so he rubbed his wings together, but nothing happened, not a sound. "Good evening," whirred a dragonfly, gliding above the water. The little cricket wanted to answer, so he rubbed his wings together, but nothing happened, not a sound. "Good night," buzzed the mosquitoes, dancing among the stars. The little cricket wanted to answer, so he rubbed his wings together, but nothing happened, not a sound. A Luna moth sailed quietly through the night, and the cricket enjoyed the stillness. As the Luna moth disappeared silently into the distance, the cricket saw another cricket. She, too, was a very quiet cricket. Then he rubbed his wings together one more time. And this time, he chirped the most beautiful sound that she had ever heard. The end. The stories that I read today are by Eric Carle, and they can be found in the very Eric Carle Treasury. And what's really neat about this particular volume is that in addition to the stories, there's different games and recipes and all sorts of fun stuff to do after you read the stories. The next story I'm going to read can be found in the 5-Minute Story Sleepy Time Collection about Thomas and his friends. The first story is called Busy Engines. It was a special day on Sodor. The railway inspector was coming to inspect Sir Topham Hatt's railway. "Thomas, you should be shunting coal trucks when the inspector arrives," said Sir Topham Hatt. "He wants to see busy engines. It's very important." Thomas went to find some of his engine friends. He wanted to ask them to help shunt trucks. He puffed to Marin Station. Percy was there, waiting for the mail. "Hello, Percy," peeped Thomas. "Will you come and shunt coal trucks with me? The inspector is arriving soon, and he wants to see busy engines." Percy was supposed to deliver the mail, but he did want to help Thomas, too. Percy was uncoupled, and away he whooshed. And where did the inspector go first? To Marin Station. When the inspector arrived to check on things, Percy wasn't there. The inspector was not very pleased. In the meantime, Thomas huffed to the quarry where Mavis was waiting to pull some slate trucks. "Will you come and shunt coal trucks?" peeped Thomas. "The inspector is due to arrive and he wants to see busy engines." Mavis had a lot to do, but she decided to help Thomas too. And where do you think the inspector went next? The quarry. When he arrived at the quarry, Mavis wasn't there. Uh-oh. The inspector was not pleased at all. Thomas was chuffing cheerfully back to the docks. Percy and Mavis had already shunted a long line of coal trucks. They knew that the inspector was going to be so pleased. Then Thomas heard Gordon's whistle go beep as he delivered the inspector to the docks. "We must look busy," Thomas said urgently. So Percy shoved and Mavis shunted, and the coal trucks biffed and bashed together. And then, oh no, coal dust flew down Gordon's funnel. It made him sputter and splutter and cough. The dust flew back out of his funnel and landed everywhere. Sir Topham Hatt was very cross. "What's going on?" he shouted. "Thomas, what have you been up to?" The inspector is not pleased at all. Poor Thomas, he felt terrible. Thomas knew he had to make things right. He heaved and hauled Gordon to the steamworks for repair. Soon, Gordon's funnel was fixed and his firebox was roaring away again. Thomas steamed back to the docks. He was ready to be a very busy engine. He shunted and shoved until all the trucks were in the right places. He was so busy that he didn't notice that Sir Topham Hatt and the inspector were watching him. You've been a very busy engine, the inspector said to Thomas. Next time, Thomas, said Sir Topham Hatt, remember that you can be a busy engine all by yourself, and a really useful one, too. Oh, I will, sir, Thomas replied. I certainly will. And he beamed from buffer to buffer. The next story I'm going to read is from the same book, 5-Minute Stories, the Sleepy Time Collection, and this one is called Belle's New Friend. Everyone on Sodor liked the new engine, Belle. She was a big blue engine with a big bell. Belle could fight fires with a whoosh of water. One day, Thomas puffed into Knapford Station and saw Belle watching Toby as he trundled away. "Who's that, Thomas?" Belle asked. "He has a bell, too. I'm sure we could be friends." Thomas told Belle all about Toby. He also told her where to find Toby's hut. Belle whooshed straight to Toby's hut. Belle was big and noisy. She made Toby feel very small. Toby told Belle that he liked to be quiet and to listen to the birds singing. "I know how we can have much more fun than that," said Belle. "Follow me." Belle took Toby to the bottom of a hill. "Let's race to the top, then whoosh down," she cried. Off she puffed at full speed. "That was fun," Belle said, laughing as she came to a stop. But Toby didn't answer, because Toby wasn't there. "I'm not good at racing," Toby said when Belle found him. "Don't worry," Belle said. She really wanted Toby to have fun, and she really wanted him to be her friend. "I know what we'll do," she said, and she raced off to a field full of pigs as Toby followed. "I like pigs," said Toby. "They make me happy." That made Belle happy too. Then she had an idea. "Pigs like mud, don't they?" she asked. She whooshed water from her spout into the field. But Toby didn't answer, because Toby wasn't there. "I don't like whooshing water," Toby explained when Belle found him. "Don't worry," she said. "Follow me." Belle chuffed off to the Malwaith station and rang her loud bell. Ding, 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 for all the waiting passengers to hear. "We're the Belles of Sodor," Belle said, laughing merrily. "Ring your bells for the passengers, too, Toby." But Toby didn't answer, because Toby wasn't there. Belle was worried. She wanted to find Toby. She wished away to look for him. Belle found Toby hiding in his shed. "You didn't have any fun," she said to him sadly. "And now you won't want to be my friend." They both sat quietly. Belle heard the birds singing. "That's a beautiful sound," she said. Toby smiled. Then Toby had an idea. He took Belle back to the pigs. Quietly, they watched the pigs snorting and snuffling. Belle didn't make Toby feel small anymore. Then Belle and Toby went back to Maithwaite Station. Toby jingled and jangled his bell for the passengers. Belle rang her big bell as quietly as she could. "Belle is my friend," Toby told everyone. "We're the Belles of Sodor." And Belle smiled from buffer to buffer. These stories and many more can be found in Thomas and Friends' 5-Minute Stories, the Sleepy Time Collection. The next set of stories I'm going to read are all about Clifford the Big Red Dog by Norman Bridwell. And the particular stories I'm going to read can be found in Clifford Collection, the original 6 stories. But there are also a lot more. Clifford the Big Red Dog. I'm Emily Elizabeth, and I have a dog. My dog is a big red dog. Other kids I know have dogs too. Some are big dogs, and some are red dogs. But I have the biggest, reddest dog on our street. This is my dog, Clifford. We have fun together. We play games. I throw a stick and he brings it back to me. He makes mistakes sometimes. We play hide and seek. I'm a good hide and seek player. I can find Clifford no matter where he hides. We play camping out, and I don't need a tent. He can do tricks too. He can sit up and beg. Oh, I know he is not perfect. He has some bad habits. He runs after cars. He catches some of them. He runs after cats, too. We don't go to the zoo anymore. Clifford loves to chew shoes. He digs up flowers. And it's not easy to keep Clifford. He eats and drinks a lot. His house was a problem, too. But he's a very good watchdog, and the bad boys don't come around anymore. One day I gave Clifford a bath, and I combed his hair, and I took him to the dog show. I'd like to say Clifford won first prize, but he didn't. I don't care. You can keep your small dogs. You can keep all your black and white, brown and spotted dogs. I'll keep Clifford. Wouldn't you? The end. The next story is called Clifford at the Circus, and it's also by Norman Bridwell. I'm Emily Elizabeth, and I have a dog named Clifford. We saw a sign that said that the circus was in town. A smaller sign said that the circus needed help. We always wanted to join a circus. We ran there as fast as Clifford could run. The owner said everything was going wrong. He didn't think they could put on the show. I told him Clifford and I would help him. He didn't think a girl and her dog could be of much help, but I said the show must go on. The first problem was the lions and the tigers. They didn't want to obey the animal trainer. Clifford gave them a command. They listened to Clifford. After that, the lion tamer didn't worry at all. Some clowns had quit the circus. The other clowns needed help with their act. I was sure Clifford could help. Clifford tried on some costumes. He found one he liked and joined the act. Clifford enjoyed being a clown. He wagged his tail. That made the act even better. The tightrope walker had sprained an ankle. Clifford tried to walk on the tightrope. He was pretty good. It wasn't his fault that he couldn't get up off the ground. Before the next act, we walked out on the midway. Clifford loves cotton candy. He sniffed it. He sniffed a little too hard. Licking the cotton candy off his nose made him thirsty. We took a drink. The circus man tried to stop him. But it was too late. Clifford had spoiled the high diver's act. But he didn't spoil the high diver. Phew, that was close. The second half of the circus began with the elephants on parade. The biggest elephant had a cold in its nose and couldn't lead the parade. So Clifford slipped into an elephant suit and gave them a hand. I mean a tail. Then he tried a stunt he thought up. Oops! The next act was the human cannonball. She didn't have any gunpowder for her cannon, so Clifford helped her out. He helped her right out of the tent. Then came the grand finale. I was going up in a balloon with the circus man. Everyone came out to watch. Oh dear, the rope broke. I didn't worry. I knew Clifford would save us. He rushed to the rescue. But he missed the rope. We were blowing away. Things looked bad. Clifford didn't give up. He grabbed an extra tent pole, and he used some telephone wires and took aim. Bullseye! The balloon was falling like a rock. We were scared silly. But Clifford got there in time. Good old Clifford. Everybody said it was the most exciting end to a circus ever. Clifford saved the show. And me. The end. The last book I'm going to read is called Clifford Gets a Job by Norman Bridwell. Hello, I'm Emily Elizabeth. If you don't live on my street, you may not know me or my dog Clifford. He's a lot of fun to play with. There is only one bad thing about Clifford. He eats a lot of dog food, and a lot of dog food costs a lot of money. We were spending all our money on dog food. Mother and Daddy didn't know what to do. "We will have to send Clifford away," they said. Clifford didn't want to go away. He made up his mind to get a job and pay for his own dog food. He decided to join the circus. Good old Clifford. The circus man liked Clifford. Clifford got the job. Before they put him in the sideshow, he just sat there, and people just looked at him. He wanted to do something. He peeked into a tent. He saw little dogs doing tricks. Clifford wanted to do tricks, too. So he ran into the tent and tried to jump through the hoop, just like the little dogs. It didn't work. In the next ring, Clifford saw a little dog riding a pony. Clifford thinks he can do anything a little dog can do, but he can't. The circus man was angry. He asked Clifford to leave. "Don't worry," I said, "you can get another job." So he went to see a farmer. The farmer thought Clifford would be a good farm dog. He said Clifford could work for him. First, Clifford rounded up the cows. Then Clifford brought home a wagon full of hay. He was doing so well. And then he saw a rat running to the barn. Clifford knew that rats on a farm are very bad. So Clifford chased the rat. Everything had gone wrong. Clifford and I started home. We felt very bad. Suddenly, a car came speeding past us, and right behind it came a police car. They were chasing robbers. Clifford took a shortcut through the woods and caught the robbers. I was very proud. The chief of police offered Clifford a job as a police dog. They didn't pay him money, but every week they send Clifford a lot of dog food. So now we can keep him. Isn't that wonderful? Good old Clifford. All of these stories and a few more can be found in Norman Bridwell's Clifford Collection, the original six stories. All of the books that I read today can be found at the Farmington Public Library. Plus, you can find many, many more. Check out our library events calendar at www.infoway.org to find out more about our upcoming events and programs. Have a great day!
This has been Quintos Hanna and Tales, presented by the Farmington Public Library and KSJE 90.9 FM.